Welcome to the Short Score, your weekly update of rope and news from around the industry, where you can find the latest on the sport from the pro rodeo ranks to the jackpot world. I'm Taylor Vollen, and I'm your host. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Short Score. It's your host, Taylor. So every week right now in the world of pro rodeo is obviously a big week now that it's August, almost September. But this past week brought some really big news with the Puyallup cutoff on Monday. So if you hadn't heard, Monday, August 18th, what was that? 4 days ago? 5 days ago now? Anyway, the field for Puyallup was finalized. It came at the end of a pretty busy weekend with four tour rodeos. And in case you have forgotten, the top 23 in the PRCA playoff series standings, plus the NFR Open Team Rope and Champs, will head to Puyallup September 4th through 7th, I believe, for the Cinch playoff series. Now, if you're new here, maybe new to pro rodeo, or just aren't really familiar with the whole PRCA playoff series, or as we call it, the tour. If you're not super familiar with it, you might be listening going, why is Puyallup so critical, or why should I even care? So let's talk some numbers. I feel like that's the best way to really dig into it. There is a purse of $75,000 up for grabs on each end in Puyallup. Now, if you go to the ground rules, you'll see the payout for the rounds in the finals. And after adding it all up, it looks like a team could win up to $20,420 a man. And that's if they were to win both of the performances in their set and then the four-man finals. Remember, it's a two-head performance-to-performance setup. So take that payday and pair it with a ticket to Sioux Falls, because another reminder, the top four from Puyallup head to Sioux Falls for the Governor's Cup at the end of September. I don't feel like I need to remind you guys what kind of payday that rodeo has and how that has changed people's seasons in the last 2 years or 3 years, but we'll get there. When Puyallup is over, we'll break that all down. So anyway, this kind of payday in Puyallup and a ticket to Sioux Falls can really be a difference maker in this year's NFR race, and I'm going to call it. I have a feeling it is going to make a difference in the NFR race. I kind of feel like with that payout, there's just no way it's not going to, but we'll just have to wait and see on that one. So let's dig into this roster now that it's finalized and what it might mean for the world standings. If you follow along on our social media or just pay attention to the website, you know that I already broke this down on Monday or Tuesday. We did a whole article on it, but I'm going to go a little bit further into depth here, aka I'm going to ramble on some money and stats and a couple of scenarios, because like I said, this really has the potential to change the season for a lot of guys, especially our bubble guys. So let's start with the guys who didn't make it. Yeah, let's get the hard stuff out of the way, the hard conversations. This first one's kind of a trick. Riley and Brady Miner, they're having their best season since 2022 when they last qualified for the NFR. They're sitting number 7 in the world with over $107,000 won on the year. But here's the kicker. They sit 29th and 28th in the PRCA playoff series standings. So those tour standings, you know, the race for Puyallup. This means that yes, they were outside the Puyallup cutoff. But another but, a positive but for once. Thanks to a good NFR Open, they're in. They've made it to Puyallup. Like I said earlier, the top 23 from the tour standings qualify for Puyallup, plus the NFR Open winners. Now, if those winners already qualify through tour points, the next highest placing team from Colorado Springs will roll up. As we all know, Destin Esquiza and Levi Lord won the NFR Open, but they also qualified through the standings. They were in on tour points for Puyallup, so that then rolls up the second place team from the NFR Open. In Colorado Springs, the Miners tied Jake Smith and Jonathan Torres for second, but Smith and Torres are also already in off of points, clearing the way for Riley and Brady. So, like I said, a little bit of a trick on that one. Man, Lightning Aguilera and Wyatt Cox. These are two that are right on the bubble of the world standings, and they're at number 13 and 18 in the world standings. I think Lightning has over 92,000 won, and Wyatt has over 80,000 won on the year. But they did not get into Puyallup. Now, I am not saying that they're not still alive in the top 15 fight, because they are. They're just faced with a little bit tougher of a challenge now. It is not impossible, though. Let's not forget about 2023. Tyler Worley, he punched his ticket to his third NFR in 2023, and he did it without much luck in the PRCA playoff series realm. Yes, Worley qualified for Puyallup that year, but he only won $838 while there. So he won $800 while at Puyallup, and he did not advance to Sioux Falls. So yes, he did have Puyallup, but he didn't really have the full benefits of the tour program, I guess you could say. Now, like Lightning and Wyatt, Sid Sporer is another one right in the bubble and not in for Puyallup. He's been in the top 15 conversation ever since that big Pinoca Stampede win earlier this summer with Colton Schmidt, and I want to say he sits 13th in the world right now with over $84,000 won, but like I said, at number 27 in the playoff standings, he's out, he's not in for Puyallup. Sid is chasing his first NFR qualification, so this means like Lightning and Wyatt, he's got to hit the road even harder probably, if I had to guess, and kind of capitalize at all those regular season rodeos that he can. This episode is brought to you by East of Wall. East of Wall, a new film directed by Kate Beercroft that is a portrait of female cowgirls in the New West, about a rebellious rancher who must cope with her family, losing her ranch, and providing for a group of wayward teens. Only in theaters August 15th. And now, on the other end of the spectrum, done with that stuff, the guys who are in for Puyallup and have that lifeline. I'm really only going to talk about the bubble guys because, let's be honest, they have the most at stake when it comes to Puyallup and Sioux Falls. Their whole seasons could turn around in Puyallup and obviously then Sioux Falls. Tyler Trine and Denton Dunning are two of these guys. These 19-year-olds are having a heck of a year. They're staring down their first NFR qualifications. We all know Tyler is the reigning rookie of the year. They're 14th in the world standings, but they sit even better in the tour standings. They're 5th. So this has a lot riding on it, I feel like. There's a lot to this. This means that they're obviously not only in for Puyallup, but they're also sitting in good shape for Sioux Falls, because let's not forget the top 8 in the tour standings as of September 22nd, so a month from now. They're qualified for Sioux Falls, along with obviously the top 4 from Puyallup. So, like I said, Tyler and Denton being 5th in the playoff series standings is huge if they can hold that. That money in Sioux Falls, obviously, plus some money in Puyallup, could really lock them in. I mean, it's a potential 2 extra chances for major money to qualify them to their first finals. Cody Snow and Hunter Cook, I personally feel like these two have really fought hard this year for their spots at 15th in the world standings. I know everybody fights hard to be in the top 15, obviously, but I feel like these guys really came on strong at the beginning of the summer, right around the time when they won Nashville. They are 15th in the world standings, like I said, and they live to see another day. They're headed to Puyallup. Some other bubble guys that obviously this is a big deal that they made it to Puyallup. We've got Andrew Ward and Jake Long at 16th and 17th in the world standings. Shea Carroll, number 17th in the world. He's joining his partner Levi Lord, like I mentioned earlier. Brenton Hall, number 19th in the world standings. His partner Caden is a little bit higher up there. He is in the top 15 last I checked, so big for their partnership. And then Dawson and Dylan Graham, the Canadians, they're also in for Puyallup, where a solid weekend could quickly jump any of these guys high inside the top 15. While we're on the topic of the Grahams, they had kind of been walking that line of, I want to say, 21st to 24th in the tour standings since the beginning of August, but they just won Caldwell, Idaho over the weekend, last weekend, to, I feel like, solidify their spot in Puyallup. That $9,775 a man win also moved them to number 18 and 16th in the world standings. Brad Kreitz, Tyler Worley, just like the Grahams, they rode that, say, 18th to 24th line in the tour standings since the beginning of August, and actually August 12th, so just, what, 6 days before the cutoff, they were 24th and 20th. So pretty close, for at least for Bry on the head side. But they had a big win at Gooding, Idaho. That was a tour rodeo over the weekend, and it helped them lock in for Puyallup. They were 4 flat for $5,272 a man if we're talking world standings, and they are a little lower in the world standings. They're 24th and 22nd, so obviously that big win was important, and this locked in them for a huge opportunity for money. Coy Rallman and Cole Curry, similar-ish story. They won Moses Lake, Washington over the weekend with the 4.5 for $5,048 apiece to put them into Puyallup for sure. They're in. They had consistently been around 20th and 21st in the playoff standings, so just a smidge more wiggle room, but not much, than Brad Kreitz and Tyler Worley. They're 23rd and 21st in the world standings, so obviously huge chance here for them too. Now, while we're on the topic of winners of last weekend's tour rodeos, this one is an interesting one. Destin Agoskiza, JC Flake, they won Canby, Oregon over the weekend, and they won over $7,000 a man there. So, super good for the world standings. Dustin is third in the world, and JC is 28th, still on the climb, but it just wasn't enough to get JC in for Puyallup. Dustin is in. He's 13th in the playoff series standings, but JC, man, he just missed it. He was 26th. Remember, we take 23. Dustin, like I said earlier, also was already locked in from the NFR Open win. So it's looking like Dustin is going to rope with Will Woodfin. That's what the trade list says, at least in Puyallup, which we will get to Will in a second here too. Thinking some more of the weekend. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Aaron Cinegenie has been something to watch this year. And I kind of laugh because you guys are probably thinking, well, no, duh, that man won Reno and Cheyenne. But he was kind of sneaking around this past weekend under all of our noses, I think that's the saying. And anyway, Aaron is 11th in the world and in for Puyallup. He was 15th in those tour standings. Now, these that I'm about to talk about weren't tour rodeos. I want to make that very, very clear. I'm not talking about playoff series eligible rodeos. We already wrapped up those winners, those four rodeos from the last weekend. But Aaron was just not silently, but kind of silently killing it in Montana this weekend. He split Baker with a 5-flat for $3,783 a man, split second and third in Billings with a 5.1 for $2,349 a man, and then he split second and third at Kalispell with a 5.3 for $2,402 a piece. Now, maybe the most important storylines, and I say this because they're lower in the world standings, Jeff Lenikin and Buddy Hawkins. They're a new team in 2025, obviously, and they just barely made the cut for Puyallup at 23rd in the PRCA playoff series standings. But at 36th and 31st in the PRCA world standings, Puyallup could be the spark that turns their season around and puts them back in the NFR fight. Not that they were ever out of the NFR fight, but this is really what they need. This could totally turn it around for them. For Jeff, about 33,000 separates him from 15th in the world standings, and about 30,000 separates Buddy from 15th. Now, while that is more than they could win in Puyallup, a good Northwest payday in Puyallup could close that gap a little bit, and then remember, send them to Sioux Falls, where really there's so much money anything can happen. Will Woodfin, like I said, we were going to get to him. He's another dark horse in this race. At number 37 in the world standings and about $37,000 outside of the top 15, his season truly, I'm just going to say, depends on the fact that he qualified for Puyallup. Woodfin first entered the top 15 in tour chats back when he won the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo in April. It's tour rodeo, obviously. And to solidify his spot in Puyallup, he capitalized this past weekend at tour rodeos in Canby and Gooding. So there you have it, breaking down that bubble, who's in, who's not in for Puyallup, and what that kind of means for our bubble guys. I know that I rambled at you guys, so I appreciate you sticking along and listening.